from you we can do nothing, so we depend on you.
I just wanted to make an announcement quick before we get started. My weekly messages share biblical truth, expose error, and provide encouragement to stay on the narrow path and fight the good fight of faith. That's my mission. And we've had a lot of warfare the last year. But I just pray that I stay on the wall and I do what God tells me to do. I had such an urgency for the last few years to get out a warning. And yesterday, the message that we got from our president just kind of said it all. Things I've been studying, the warnings that we've been getting, the noose is getting a little tighter. And for you that have eyes to see, you see it, and yous that don't, I just pray you research and you study, because we are in the end times. Now, I didn't know what the end times was going to look like, and I don't particularly like what I see. I'm sure you guys don't either, especially you that are in other countries. I'm getting your emails. They're heartbreaking, the stories. The division we are seeing now is demonic. I mean, it is within and without. It's very evil. It's almost like something new has been unleashed, and people have lost their minds. I mean, they're not even thinking. They're operating in fear, and they're being brainwashed. And the propaganda, I've taught you for years, the propaganda, be careful of all the propaganda. You've got to know what the Bible says. We need to stay with our mind intact and not be led by the spirit of fear. That's what this whole thing, there's a lot of fear, a lot of scapegoating going on now, blaming this and that. But if you listen to a lot of my messages, you'll have eyes to see and why I've really warned. And there's been a price to pay for warning, but I'd do it again if I had to, because it's good to obey the Lord. So even if you are subscribed to my channel, you can be unscribed just like that. And they've unsubscribed me many, many times to my own channel. So without your knowledge, so check to see if you're subscribed and then bookmark it. Click the bell to get notifications, because I've watched them change my numbers right in front of me. The last week I saw it again. I was like, wow, they're threatened by what I'm sharing, I'm sure. But we're still here. So I try to be careful on what I say. And send me emails at info@lihpc.org, and I get those. I'm not the best at writing back, but I love reading them. And it's all me now by myself, so I'm doing all these emails by myself. And bookmark livinginhispresence.org. And I want to thank all of you for helping me. It's so encouraging, because basically now we're reaching the world, and we're seeing a lot of people subscribe from other countries and what's going on there, and we got to enjoy that while we still can. I wanted to start something. I don't know who this is for, but I just threw this. It really doesn't go with this message, but I felt like I wanted to share. We're hearing so much now about conspiracy theorists and like, oh, it's, you know, it's so evil and it's so bad. But I want to tell you what the Bible says. First of all, Satan's planted tares among the wheat. In the end times, what does it say? It's going to wax worse and worse. So the preachers that are telling you things are going to get better, they're lying. Because the Bible tells you it's going to get worse and worse. Why? Because evil men have plans. And they will be removed and gathered up and cast into the lake of fire, the lake of judgment, when God says it's time. And until then, he is allowed to do some things. And he's allowed to set up this Antichrist system, which we're in. And God only knows why. You know, all this stuff has to happen, but there has to be an Antichrist system, and people have to choose. And we're in the middle of fire of choosing right now who you're going to serve. And a lot of people are backsliding, which the Bible says there's a great falling away. And don't even be discouraged by that, because you've got to walk sometimes the narrow path. Right. And sometimes the people you thought that'd be there to support you aren't. So what are you going to do then? You still got to follow Jesus. If none go with me, I'm still going to follow. But Ezekiel 22:25, the prophet Ezekiel, I'm going to quote this. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. This is a false prophets were conspiring. Now, what is a conspiracy? It's a hidden plan. Yep. That's all it is. It's a secret plan that's hidden. In the midst thereof, he said, there is a conspiracy of her prophets like a roaring lion. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. And it goes on to say some things, but I wanted to bring out this conspiracy because you're hearing more and more about it, and it's almost a mockery. It's a making fun of, and people are saying, oh, well, you're just one of those, and how easy for the enemy to use that to discredit truth. Yep. And a lot of people are falling for this deception as well. It's not new. It's been in the Bible. And here they were conspiring against the true prophet, all the false ones, under the veil of what? Lies and deception. They committed terrible crimes. And they're doing the same today. That's why this Old Testament's in there, is because some of these things are still happening and they repeat because the devil is still the devil, right? So now an Apostle Paul in Acts 23:13, and there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. What were they trying to do? It was a secret plot to hunt Paul down and to kill him. So we see there's a conspiracy. There is a hidden plan. That's all it means, is a hidden plan. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. And the main thing we're going to watch out for in the end times, Matthew 24, is deception. Let no man deceive you. So again, they're going to use lies and deception. We also see Jesus. He condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. Remember, he said, beware of the leaven of Herod. Well, we're seeing that right now. Those that govern, beware of the leaven of Herod. In Matthew 12:14, the Pharisees went out and conspired against Jesus as how they might kill him. What did Jesus do? He withdrew himself. So all the way through the Bible, he talks about these hidden secret plans. Psalms, I'm just going to read a few scriptures. Psalms 83:3, they make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. Psalms 83:5, for they have conspired with one mind against you. They make a covenant. Examples of conspiracies in the Bible, Joseph's brothers against Joseph. They conspired to kill him. Jezebel against Naboth. She wanted that vine. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a secret plan to destroy them. Daniel as well. Here's the conclusion that I want to bring to this one point. Where there is wickedness, there will always be secret plans. Yep. Wow. There will always be secret plans to destroy the Lord and his anointed, Psalms 2. So when you hear that, just kind of laugh, because that's part of programming you to think all these other people. And the reason I say that, I get so many letters and you all say, I'm the only one in my family that sees, and they think I'm a nut. Well, you're not a nut. Because you're the ones that's studying, and they're the ones that are just being programmed, and it's very sad. It's an hour that we see a lot of people that we thought would see things that choose not to. They choose not to, and so there's a grand delusion in place. But here in Galatians 6:1, let's start here. This is a day of division, betrayal. We're all experiencing it. Thankfully, I'm not in my personal family. We have divided opinions and views, but we're not divided. We just honor and respect each other to do what they want to do. And that's what we should be doing, honor and love each other for whatever decisions they make, but you don't destroy and divide each other and bite and devour, the Bible says, one another. Well, here in Galatians 6:1, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or you could put a sin, we which are spiritual, what does it say to do to him? Restore. If you're spiritual, and that's why we don't see much restoration, is because we don't have spiritual people among us. We have a bunch of carnal people that fight and divide and bite and devour. And that's probably why I err on the fault of giving people excuses, because I want to restore them. I want, with everything that's within me, to get them back up again, if they can get back up again. I don't want to be the one that puts the foot on their head and destroys somebody, because you have to answer to God for that. So he says, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now this whole thing is really good, but we get weary, because I get weary because I see more destruction in the body of Christ, then I see restoration. And we should all look at other people that have sinned or fallen and we should try to restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. This is what the Bible says, to restore, to bring back from a state of ruin. People are afraid to come back to church because they're backslidden and they don't know how they're going to be treated. Well, if you're spiritual, you'll restore them. You repair, to recover, to return, and you bring peace to them. You let them know if they've repented, God forgives them too. Now, that doesn't mean you just go and trust people that have done bad things. There's that balance too. But I'm not going to go on that. And right now we're talking about, why don't we see more restoration? Why do we see so much division? Because we don't have spiritual people among us. If you're spiritual, you should want to restore and want to walk in love, and you should want to unite. Now, there's a lot of things. He said, I've come to bring division. He has come to bring division. But that's not a part of us and having a spirit that we are attacking people or we are biting and devour them. Friendships, if it's done in the spirit of meekness and restoration, they can be restored. I don't see that today. It's expected when the world hates you. Jesus told to expect that. John 15:18 and John 16:33. But what's even worse is when we're hit with friendly fire. And this is where I think what the enemy wants to do is have Christian against Christian. He wants the friendly fire. You get so distracted, you forget who your enemy really is. And to me, all this stuff that's going on now, I know it's a cover for the reset of things that are being reset. And people don't want, they're going to be so distracted by all this other stuff, they don't see what's really happening. But if you've been studying along with us, you know what's happening. You have eyes to see in the dark, and you know this has been a plan. Wow. The end game is unbelievable, and that's why the Bible says if you even read the book of Revelations, you'll be blessed, because so many people are scared to read it. But according to Webster's, talking about friendly fire, what is friendly fire? It's accidental attacks. It's when you wound somebody on your own team. My son was a basketball player. He's 6'11". One of his teammates broke his nose in a game, and one stepped on his foot in another game. It was like, oh my goodness, really? And so we went. It was a big series of games, and we went to the doctor. I don't know how we got. I went to the ER, I think, and he just bopped it right in, and he said, "Let him go play." I was so mad at that doctor. Oh my gosh, he did. He went back on the basketball court and just started playing again. Later on, he did have to have surgery, but that game, he just bopped it back in. devoted to the game. And I wish more Christians were like that. It's like, okay, I got hurt, I got wounded, but I'm not quitting. You know, we're here. We're here for the long haul. Now, about friendly fire, in 1967 alone, friendly fire killed 5,373 Americans fighting in Vietnam. Our own shot our own, wounded by their own troops. Now, spiritually speaking, attacking fellow believers by division and offenses. Now, when we get offended, and this is what the Bible says in the end times, this is an end time message here, many shall betray one another, many shall be offended and hate each. People that you used to love, now you hate them because you had an offense and you didn't restore it. You didn't do the biblical thing. So now you're enemies. You didn't handle it spiritually. And this is a sad thing for the blood of people to be on your hands, really. Because we have a mission to do, and that is to, what, preach the Bible as long as we can? Who has time for this friendly fire stuff? So attacking your fellow believers by division and offenses. In fighting, they leave many people. More people have left churches, I'm talking about for years and years, because the church wounded them. The pastor wounded them. What do we say to that? You got to shake it off and move on. Because your pastor didn't save you. Your best friends didn't save you. Jesus saved you. And he's the one you got to walk with. He's the one, and we got to keep our hearts right. This is a challenge for the end times. Boy, it is a challenge to keep our heart from being bitter. And we're all going through that. Walking wounded, betrayed by someone you trusted, and hurt by a so-called friend. Now, we expect our enemies to hurt us. But when it comes to a loved one, a family member, or a church member, betrayal by someone you trusted or depended on, it's devastating. Because you can handle attacks from without because you're not emotionally attached. Many times it's just like, oh, that's the world or that's so-and-so. But the enemy likes to do it. He likes to put somebody within the middle, and then a spirit of division comes on some people, and the enemy wants to divide. He wants to destroy, especially these end time, as a watchman, we have to keep doing what God tells us to do. And to be honest, I've been hindered for a year because people didn't want me to say this, didn't want me to say this, don't say this, don't say that. Well, I have to answer to God. And he said, if I know things and I don't warn, then the blood of the people will be on my hands. So I'd rather stand before God with clean hands and a pure heart than what people say. Because a lot of people now, they want their ears tickled. They want to live in their little bubble. Well, guess what? This is coming to your house. Yeah. This end time stuff is not just for, oh, some conspiracy. We're starting to see the noose tighten. We're starting to see dictatorship. We're starting to see all the things that we've been talking about for years now. And it was not fun to preach. It was not exciting. It was hard, but that's what the Lord asked us to do, and we've done it. And now people online are looking for answers. When they were looking before, they were just wanting to be tickled. Now they realize something's going on. There's a hidden plan. There's some things really going on. Who's got answers? So we have to not worry about who likes us or who doesn't. Are we obeying? Are we walking that straight path? Are we obeying God? Give us strength for the journey, Lord. Because I know many of you that I'm talking to are going through this. Because this is a world order. This isn't just the United States. This is a world order. This is a world reset. Things are changing. But the Bible is full of friendly fire. And the only way through, my son always says this to me, is through. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy way to just eject and say, okay, well, that didn't bother me. You got to walk through it. And I want to give you a couple of tips that have helped me and that will help all of us as these end times. This is just the beginning of sorrows. I talked, I think, a year or two ago about the beginning of sorrows. The Bible's full of friendly fire. Cain kills Abel. Jacob steals the birthright from Esau, his brother. Samson was betrayed by Delilah. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Friendly fire. His own brothers were jealous of him, threw him in a pit, and wanted him to die. Peter forsook Jesus. We could go on and on and on about friendly fire in the Bible. And I think it's in there because God wants us to know. Don't quit just because people fire on you in the wrong team. And my son, when he, it was a day before he was supposed to play real, and someone stepped on his foot and broke it. He had to sit out most of the whole season. That was just heartbreaking for me, but he was the best cheerleader. He didn't get discouraged. He just kept in there, and I was so proud of him that he didn't. It was his best friend that stepped on his foot, too, and he felt so bad, and they remained friends. So much more than what I see today. Now, friendly fire, this is the encouraging thing, can be survived. So you've been attacked. So you've been wounded. You can come through it. We can live past friendly fire and go forward, and you can ride out the storm. And the more and more that we see this, there's coming this division, and the news is pushing this division. It's pushing the scapegoat. It's pushing. And once you know what to look for, you can see it. You can see it clearly, and then you wonder why other people can't see it, because they haven't been close to the Lord. They haven't been listening to preachers, probably teachers, or they haven't been studying. You got to study your way out of deception. Many times. And it's going to be harder and harder to find articles. I have so many articles. Yeah. And I have them all stacked up. Because now it's going to be hard to find some of these articles. Because things are getting scrubbed. Things are being changed. You're not going to be able to find even the books. That's why I say get things in hard copy. Get everything you can get now. But friendly fire can be survived. You can go forward. Now, survival, When you go to a funeral, they will always say they were survived by the people that are still living, right? To remain alive after the death of a loved one and to come safely through, to pull through, survive something, pull through it, to make it through the storm. And everybody's faced people backsliding, going away from the Lord, family members, you taught your children and maybe they backslid or whatever. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas, having loved this present world, forsook and deserted Paul. When you pour yourself into someone and they desert you for the world, that's a very strong wound. A lot of preachers that I know would always tell me, don't get close to anybody because they're going to hurt you. And I thought, I'm not going to live that way. But a lot of them live in isolation. They don't trust anyone. That is no way to live either. But you got to risk people. You're going to get hurt. But oh well, you'll survive. Now the Greek, the Greek word Demas, having loved this present, well, trust me, forsake, or he deserted Paul. The Greek word means to be left in the lurch. Demas just left him in the lurch. He was devastated, shocked. He was in denial. Lurch is a vulnerable and unsupported position. So here, Paul was thinking Demas was with him, walking by his side, and he forsook him. Wow. But guess what? He did survive, didn't he? It didn't hurt. There's a warning on many children's toys that really need to be in the church today. Caution, this toy is not intended for children 3 or under. It contains small parts and could be choking hazards. There's a lot of things in church that really are not worth fighting and bickering over. It's the small stuff. Don't choke on the small stuff, right? We need similar warnings in the church. Be careful not to choke on the small stuff. Just think about all the things that could have been avoided if you just didn't choke on the small stuff. And I'm telling you that in these end times, we got to persevere. And we don't have time to choke on the small stuff. We see nitpicking and fault-finding that's mean-spirited, choking on the small stuff. The Greek word for a called-out ones, the ekklesia, the called-out ones, what happens when the called-out attack the called-out? Choking on small stuff. Adversity. Well, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It has happened to many of you out there. You got to keep going. You got to keep pressing on. Many people just say, it's not worth it. I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. We need your strength in this end times. Yeah. We need people that are going to be light and salt in this world. We're going to have people that are going to come and wake up in these final hours. And you got to be there for them. Now, life can either bring you blessings or cursing. The storms come to everyone. I was thinking about my wonderful cousin I love so much, my Aunt Frances I love so much, and he lost her and her dad and his brother in a plane crash, not in that order, but I just thought, my sister said, oh, I just saw him and he's singing and he's going to church, and I just thought they'd be so proud that they raised him so right in the Lord, and he lost his wife with cancer just 2 years ago, so he's basically by himself now, serving the Lord though. He kept on going. You can stay bitter, or you can choose to respond to things you don't like and how they happened in the way God wants you to. And that's a struggle for our flesh. How you respond to betrayal, loss. We've lost a lot of things. I lost my spiritual mom this year with other friendships, lost because people wanted me to stop warning. I can't stop warning because that's what I'm supposed to do. And if they don't want to hear it, it's really on them. But we have to do what God tells us to do. And I think I've been pretty light, actually. I was going through all my files today of the stuff I wanted to preach on that was I was suppressed by. And I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't even hardly scratched the surface on stuff. And they couldn't handle that. So how you respond to betrayal, loss, criticism, and adversity. How we handle the storms of life. How are you going to handle it? Now, there's an old farmer story that I love. I've pulled out of my files. No, it's not true. But it is a good point, okay? As the story goes, this farmer, he had a mule, and he stumbled into the farmer's well because he lost his eyesight and he couldn't see, so he fell into the well. And hearing the animal cry, the farmer decided that the old mule nor the well was worth saving. So he called his neighbors together. He enlisted their help. They hauled in dirt to fill in the well. They just thought they're going to bury the well and they're going to bury this old mule and put him out of his misery. He was old. He couldn't see. It was time to not save him. So panicked at first when a load of dirt landed on his back. The old mule would shake it off. Freaked out, of course. Shovelful after shovelful, he shook it off, and then he stepped up on top of the dirt. Shaked it off, stepped on it, stepped up. Shook it off, stepped up. Shook it off, shovelful, shovelful, shovelful. Shook it off and stepped up. That old mule, he fought off his panic and he just kept shaking it off and stepping it up. Battered and exhausted, after shaking, 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 shake, 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 he stepped over the wall of that well. Finally, the dirt was, he just stepped right on over. He shook it off and he stepped up. He didn't let the dirt take him down. And that's what we cannot let the dirt take us down. We got to shake it off, right?
Amen.
So that's not a true story, but it's got a good point. We need to let the dirt thrown at us become stepping stones.
Yep.
Right? To me, I'd rather have someone be honest and tell you stuff to your face. Why people are just liars nowadays. They don't tell you truth. It's hard to find people that'll tell you truth. When we're going through these storms, what we're supposed to be doing is drawing closer to the Lord and help us build character. Because we all have flaws. We all have failures. We've all missed it. We've all probably shot someone with friendly fire ourselves. Because we're in this world and our words are powerful when they attack. You can't get those words back.
Yeah.
And they hurt. So we have to trust in the Lord and have faith in Him and take one more step. When I was praying the other day and I thought, what are we supposed to do? And this is kind of what I feel. God will give us light for the next step. It's hard to plan anything right now in the future of the way things are going, the financial, but we have to take one step. Just take that one step. What God wants me to do today, just show you one thing that He wants you to do, right? Otherwise, you're going to get in self-pity and you're going to get in fear. And if you turn that news on over and over and over, just so you know, they have many, many variants that are coming. This is the beginning of a new season. So we have to persevere. Continue. What does it mean to persevere? God didn't say, the Bible doesn't say it's going to be easy. The false prophets did. The fake teachers did. Sow me your money and you're going to have a harvest. But the Bible talks about persecution, persevering. Continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. We don't quit because it gets hard. We haven't had good spiritual teaching that when things get hard, you don't quit. You keep playing through the pain. You play hurt. All these football players, what do? They bandage themselves out and out they go again. They don't quit. They don't quit. Christians are so wimpy. The first little offense, they get bitter and they can't handle it. And you never see them again. They're cowards.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when things get really turned up hot?
Right?
So you're supposed to persevere. Continue, even if it's difficult. It is difficult in these days. It is discouraging. That message that we heard yesterday on the news was just so evil.
Yeah.
What do? We carry on, even when we don't feel like it. You get up, you shake it off, and you step up. You get up, you shake it off. Shake off the criticism, you judge it, see if there's any truth to it. I always like to judge myself and see if there's any truth to it. But I always say, if you are honest, you can go to the person. The Bible says go to the person. It doesn't say go behind the back and stab somebody and then destroy somebody. That just shows me you're not spiritual. If you're spiritual, you'll try to restore that person. If you're stronger in the Lord than a baby and the baby offends you, what are you going to do? You should restore them, go talk to them. Tell them, this offended me, this bothered me. We don't hear those talks anymore.
No.
We see nothing that's biblical. Now, in Matthew 24:10, Jesus warns his disciples of events prior to his return. And what's he saying? One of the end time things. Many shall be offended. Many will betray one another and will hate one another. We're being pit against each other right now. They did the same thing in Germany. If you studied Germany and the things they did, you're going to start seeing a circle, a repeat. Some things are different, but other things are being implemented, that some are not worth to be in society, It's just such a double speak, because they want you to accept everybody, all this fluidity, but then this other part, you have to choose. And there's hate. They're giving out the spewing the hate. Yep. They talk about hate speech, but they're giving the hate speech.
That's right. Yeah.
They're giving the hate speeches. So same thing they did in Germany.
Yeah.
They had the brown shirts turning on everyone, turning everybody in. And they just go and haul them off. Oh, well, they're diseased. I can see it happening again if things don't change. So many shall be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. And the root cause of betrayal, you don't just betray somebody. You had to be offended first.
That's right.
It starts with an offense. Now, you get mad at your kids. They offend you, but you know what? You don't desert them.
Nope.
You raised them. They made you mad. You were upset, probably, you know, whatever. But because you didn't choke on the small stuff,
right.
You loved them. You put up with their stuff. Those teenage years were wonderful. Actually, my kids were pretty good in my teenage years. I can't say that. But a lot of people struggle with kids that are really rebellious in their teenage years. But you didn't get offended and betray them, most likely. So what do? We have to check our attitudes, forgive, and move forward. If you don't, you will begin the betrayal process. Because you betray one another, you're offended, you're bitter, you're upset, you didn't get your way, you get offended, and then you have an unforgiving spirit, and now the people that used to be your friends, you attack, you don't even say hi to, you don't talk to them. That just bothers me. How can you be so close and then be such enemies? That just makes no sense to me. The devil is hard at work, and the Bible says, give no place to him. Well, we don't just give a place. We have him sit down. We invite him to dinner. We feed him. The devil I'm talking about. Let him in. I used to do that when I was a first Christian. I'd say, devil, get out of my house, and I'd open up the door, and I'd kick him out. It made me feel good anyway. But anyway, Jesus warns his disciples. So what do we have to do in closing? Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. It doesn't say destroy. It says restore. Such a one in the spirit of meekness. And that's why I loved leading prostitute ladies to the Lord. I did. I had a group of them. And they didn't call themselves prostitutes, but they were call girls, and they worked in those clubs and stuff. And I loved it because you know what they'd do? They'd come and tell me when they sinned.
Yeah.
And they were honest. And I said, I can work with you because you're honest. Church people? Oh my gosh, they're liars. They're deceivers. People from the world, they just come and say, well, you know, I blew it. I slept with Joe last night. Will you pray with me? Oh, sure, I'll pray with you. I'll restore you. Church people? No. You see what I mean? The difference? It shouldn't be that way, but we have to make a safe a place for people so that when they do blow it, they're not going to get their head blown off because they blew it. You know, you have to have a safe place. But if you're spiritual, you'll restore.
Yeah.
If you're carnal, you're going to choke on the small stuff.
Yeah.
So your choice going forward, as we see betrayal, as we see offenses, as we see all these things, and we see these hidden plans, you got to know who your friends are. You got to be able to talk to people. There's a lot of people that aren't going to see things that you see. But if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, thank the Lord.
Amen.
That he's given you discernment in this end times in a great deception. So Father, we thank you that many are hurting, and I know they're hurting. And I just pray, Father, for giving us the ability to harden us to difficulties. Especially the mercy-motivated ones. It seems like they take pain so much deeper into their beings. Father, I just pray that you would help us in these end times, strengthen us, and help those that are discouraged not quit, those that are facing betrayal and offenses, and those that have offended and betrayed. Father, I just pray that everybody would just do what you've asked them to do. Repent and do what you've asked them to do. I don't know what the Lord's asking people to do, but for some of us, it's just to keep our heart right. There's nothing else we can do. So, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your strength in these difficult days. And you said you'd never leave us and you'll never forsake us and you will show us the hand of the enemy. So we thank you, Father, for hiding us in that secret place of the Most High. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the Messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a Give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Jesus, I love you.
Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.